This is God's holy word, which we should desire more than gold. So let's listen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's the word of God. In 1928, a scientist named Alexander Fleming was experimenting with a certain kind of bacteria, a bacteria that caused deadly infection in the human body. And one day he discovered a mold was growing in one of his culture plates that contained this bacteria. And before he just cleaned it out, he noticed that the mold wasn't simply growing in the midst of the bacteria, but it was actually destroying the bacteria. And this led him and other scientists on a journey that resulted in the discovery and production of penicillin in 1942. And penicillin quickly proved to be some kind of wonder drug because it quickly and effectively killed a wide range of bacteria that caused infection in the human body, effectively prolonging human life and saving human life. The discovery of such a powerful, life-giving antibiotic was unprecedented in history, and many refer to the introduction of penicillin as the beginning of the antibiotic revolution, which changed modern medicine. Today, there's a whole family of antibiotics that are used to treat all kinds of bacterial infection. I'm guessing that if not all of us here, maybe 99% of us have at one point in time used antibiotics for some treatment of some sickness or infection, whether that's an ear infection, strep throat, staph infection, pneumonia, and a whole long list of other things. In fact, because a single antibiotic can kill such a wide range of bacteria, when doctors aren't sure what's wrong with someone, they oftentimes will put them on a powerful antibiotic, which many times restores the patient to health, even though the bacteria was unidentified. Of course, penicillin and other antibiotics, they have these limitations, obvious limitations, but they are perhaps the closest that we've come to a cure for whatever ails you. Well, the prayer that we have in our passage today is like the spiritual equivalent to penicillin, except that it really is the cure for whatever ails you, spiritually. This is the prayer that you need. It doesn't matter where you're at spiritually, whether you're an unbeliever and you're hostile to the gospel, you hate Christians, you hate God, or if you are the most mature disciple of Jesus Christ, or you're somewhere in between these two extremes, this is the prayer that you need. This prayer is so basic, so foundational, that it's really the prayer for whatever ails you, wherever you're at. And this needs to be your basic prayer, my basic prayer. This is the prayer that you need to pray for yourself, no matter where you're at on your spiritual journey. And it needs to be the prayer that you offer on behalf of everyone you love, no matter where they're at on their journey. This is the prayer for whatever ails you. So Paul, in the first 2.5 chapters, has been contemplating the great works of God, the gifts of God. He closes this first half of the book with this great section, this great incredible prayer. And he's praying, of course, for the churches there in Ephesus. And back then, just as it is today, the churches back in Ephesus contained a mixture of all kinds of people. There were believers as well as unbelievers. And even among the believers, there were various levels of maturity, spiritual maturity. There were new baby Christians. And there were also mature disciples and everything in between. This is the kind of mixture that every church has. And I'm confident here today that we have unbelievers. We have baby Christians, those of you who have just come to faith, as well as mature disciples. And then everyone in between on this spectrum. And so Paul offers this prayer that covers everyone, no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey. And there are four basic parts to this prayer. And these four parts build on each other. He prays for the first one, which leads to the second one, which produces the third one, which results in the fourth one. And as we look at these four parts, I hope you'll see how they all build on each other, how they all work together. So the first thing that Paul prays for is for the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, he says, I bow my knees before the Father that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That you be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul understands that our spiritual beginning and our spiritual growth comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our spiritual lives begin and grow only through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us constantly so that we would be spiritually strong to the core of our being. Think about how crucial this prayer is. For the Holy Spirit is to our spiritual lives. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that our spiritual lives begin. Our life with God begins. He powerfully brings us from death to life. He powerfully leads us out of slavery to sin and Satan and leads us to freedom in Christ, from hating God to loving God. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are born again and made new. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our blind eyes. And he's the one who replaces our stone-cold, hard hearts with hearts of flesh. He replaces our perverted desires with good desires. But not only does he start our lives spiritually, but it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we continue to grow in our spiritual lives. The work of the Holy Spirit wasn't finished the moment he regenerated you and brought you to life. No, that was merely the beginning of his work in our lives. He continues to work his great power in us to carry us to completion. It's only through the continued work of the Spirit that we are shaped and molded more and more into the image of Christ. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit are we enabled to resist sin and temptation. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit are we able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit does not continue his work day by day in our lives, then we will quickly wither away and die. Our spiritual lives depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us along the way. All along the way, he brings us from dead to sin to perfected in glory with God. From A to B, and is with us all the way, empowering us all the way through that journey. So it doesn't matter who you are or how long you've been walking with God. You and I, we desperately need the Holy Spirit to continue to empower us to the core of our being. If you want to see change in your life, if you want to grow stronger spiritually, if you want your life and your demeanor and your desires to be more like Jesus, then this needs to be your prayer. You need the continuous power of the Holy Spirit poured out on you to continually strengthen you to the core of our being. This needs to be your prayer. And this shouldn't just be a prayer for ourselves. But this should be our prayer for all those that we love and interact with. This is a prayer that we need to offer on behalf of our children, our spouses, our co-workers, our friends, our enemies, our neighbors, those in authority over us, those who are under our authority. If you want to see God powerfully change the lives of those around you, then this needs to be your prayer. We need God to empower us continually, constantly, through the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing that Paul prays for. It's for the continual power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that Paul prays for is that the Holy Spirit would then give us greater and greater faith so that Christ would continually dwell in us. Prays for faith in Christ so that Christ would dwell in us. Here's how he puts it. He says that God would strengthen us with the power of his Holy Spirit so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. Remember that each request here grows out of the one that comes before. So the Holy Spirit powerfully works in us in order to give us the gift of faith so that Christ would live in us. When the Holy Spirit first brings us from spiritual death to spiritual life, that is the moment that we see the reality of our sin, the deadness of that our sin brings. And that's when we realize our desperate need for Jesus Christ. And that's when the Holy Spirit powerfully persuades us to believe in and love the Lord Jesus as our Savior. That's faith. And it's at that moment that we are united together in Christ. That is the moment when Christ takes up residency in our hearts. He lives in us and we live in him. United together by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith. And it's at that moment that we are given, it's that moment that we are saved and adopted and given every spiritual blessing in Christ. The gift of faith is essential to our salvation. It's essential for our walk with God. If you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus, then you don't know God. And the greatest thing that you need more than anything is for the Holy Spirit to powerfully work in your heart and in your life to give you this faith, to show you your sin, to persuade you to believe, to cling to the Lord Jesus. So if you're here today and you don't know God through Jesus Christ, then this needs to be your prayer. That the Holy Spirit would empower you to give you faith so that Christ would live in you. Or if there's a loved one who doesn't know God, then let this be your prayer for them. Life with God begins with faith. And the only way that we have faith is through the power of the Holy Spirit. This needs to be our continual prayer. But this is not just the prayer that we offer on behalf of unbelievers, but it's actually a prayer that all of us need. Paul is praying for Christians here as well. So whether you're a baby Christian or a mature disciple, your faith, my faith, it's mixed with these impurities of doubt and uncertainty. And the proof that shows us that our faith is impure is the fact that we continue on in sin. If you and I, if we had perfect faith, then we wouldn't sin. If you perfectly loved God and perfectly trusted that he is the one who will satisfy you and that his commands are always right and true and will give us joy and delight, then we would always follow him. The only reason why we sin, why we continue in sin, is because we have this imperfect, this impure faith. We don't perfectly love and trust him. Sin reveals the imperfections of our faith. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to continually empower us to purify and strengthen our faith so that we are drawn closer and closer to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Mark, there's a story of a man who was desperate for Jesus. And he had a son who was possessed by a demon. And this demon totally enslaved his son. The demon would throw his son in the fire to be burned. He would throw him in water to try to drown him. And his father came to Jesus and he said to him, "Lord, if you can, will you please help us?" And Jesus said, "If I can, all things are possible for those who believe." And the man said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And Jesus healed his son. I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's what this prayer is about. Even though we have faith, we need the Holy Spirit to continually purify it, to bring it to perfection, so that we are drawn closer and closer to our Savior. So no matter where you're at on your spiritual journey, you need this prayer. Everyone needs this prayer. Everyone you love needs this prayer. That the Holy Spirit would continually empower you so that through faith you would, so that your faith would be continually purified, so that Christ would continually live in you. So that's the second part of the prayer. The first, we ask that God would continually empower us by His Holy Spirit, who would then not only give us faith, but constantly purify our faith so that Christ would live in us. And the third thing that he asks for is that we would understand more and more how deeply rooted we are in the incomprehensibly massive love of Christ. How deeply rooted we are in the incomprehensibly massive love of Christ. That we would know that. He asks God that He would empower us through His Holy Spirit so that Christ would dwell in us through faith, so that being rooted and grounded in love may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul prays that we would understand more and more how deeply rooted we are in the incomprehensibly enormous love of Christ. There's a relationship between our faith and the love of God that we often get mixed up sometimes. We think sometimes that God's love depends on our faith. If I have faith, then God will love me. My faith causes God to love me. Well, the way that it's presented in Scripture is the other way around. God's love brings me to faith. And when I have faith, I come to understand the depths of His love. Our faith doesn't cause God to love us, but it actually proves that God already loved us. And He has loved us before He spoke the universe into existence. And we come to understand that this love will never change and will continue on forever. Through faith, we get to see how deeply rooted and planted we are in this immovable and secure and unchanging love of God. I was talking with Charlie Modro the other week, and he's working as an engineer now, and he oversees the construction of different kinds of structures to make sure that the construction principles and procedures are followed so that the structure is sound and safe. Well, he was working at the mall for a period of time where there was construction for a new store. And to make sure that the foundation for this new store was strong and secure and stable, they had to drill 40 holes about 50 feet deep until they reached bedrock, the bedrock of the earth. And then, once they reached the bedrock, they drilled another 6 feet into that bedrock. And then they inserted massive pipes all the way down this hole and then filled these pipes with concrete. And Charlie said that these are called micropiles. And it's on these micropiles that the foundation of the store is built on. This store was deeply planted in the earth, cemented actually to the bedrock of the earth, cemented to the earth itself so that it would be virtually unmovable. Well, the moment Christ began to live in us through faith, he opened our eyes to see that he has deeply rooted us into the unmoving bedrock of his eternal love. Through faith, we see that Jesus has sunk our micropiles so deeply into his immovable, incomprehensible love that we cannot be shaken. It's an impossible thing. And that nothing will uproot us. Nothing has the strength or power to pull us out. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. There is no storm, no trouble, no hardship that can move us. And this love of Christ that we are planted into is so big that we will never plumb its depths in this life or in the life to come. It's bigger, deeper, wider than we can understand. In the Psalms, a number of times in the Psalms, it says that God's love is not just as big and secure as the earth that we live on, but it is as big as the universe we live in. It reaches to the heavens. Think about the universe. The more we probe the universe, the more we understand how mind-blowingly big it really is. We can't even reach its limits. And that's how big the love of Christ is. It's bigger than the incomprehensible limits of the universe. And we explore the depths of the universe. As we explore it, we learn more about it, and we are in awe of it. How much more should we explore the depths of Christ's love for us and be in awe of his incredible love? The more we understand how massive Christ's love is, and the more we understand how deeply rooted and planted into this love we are, the more in awe we will be of our Savior. And the more at peace we will be knowing that he will always, without exception, do only what is good for us. And that he will hold us secure in the midst of every storm. When we've taken the love of God for granted and just sort of, you know, put it in our back pocket or something, if we have it figured out, if it doesn't excite us, if it doesn't overwhelm us, then we are not in a good place spiritually. But the more you understand the love of Christ, the more closely you will walk with him, the more you understand the depths of his love, the more you will rejoice in him and find peace in him and be in awe of him. We need the Holy Spirit to constantly empower us, to give us greater and greater faith in Christ so that we can see through the eyes of faith, that we can see how deeply rooted we are in this incredible, immovable, incomprehensible love of Christ. That's the third thing that he prays for. And so now we come to the fourth part of our prayer. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us in order to give us greater and greater faith so that Christ would continually dwell in us, so that we could understand more and more how deeply rooted we are in the incomprehensibly massive love of Christ, so that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. The more we understand how deeply rooted we are in God's incomprehensible love, the more we will be filled with the fullness of God. It's a cause and effect. The more we understand his love, the more we will be compelled and be filled with the fullness of God. So what does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? Well, it's interesting that Paul uses this phrase in other books, other letters that he writes. And he uses it in describing Jesus himself. In Colossians, he writes that in Christ, all the fullness of God dwells. What does that mean, that in Christ, all the fullness of God dwells? Well, it means that when we look at Christ, we see God himself. We see his heart, his love, his desires, his words, his actions. It all shows us perfectly who God is. because Jesus is God. Well, in this prayer, Paul prays that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we will become like God or become God like Jesus. It doesn't mean that we will become God, but it simply means that we will become like God. We will be like God. We were made to be like God, as image bearers of God. We were created with the fullness of God to show the world who God really is through our love and our desires, our words and our actions. God created us to be little mirrors so that when people see us, they see His reflection in us. But once we sinned, that mirror was dropped to the ground and shattered. And although every person in the world still bears the image of God, it is a very broken and shattered reflection of who God is. What this prayer is asking for is that we would, is that as we understand and know the depths of the love of Christ and how securely we are rooted in that love, that God would change us more and more to look like Him. Paul's asking that God would take us, these broken images, and He would put us back together so that we would reflect to this world all the fullness of God. So that when the world looks at us, they see a little part of who God is. In everything we do and say, the way we think, the things we're involved in, that God, that the world would see, these are the things that God is interested in. This is a picture of God's heart. These are desires of God. The more you understand the depths of the love of Christ and how deeply rooted you are in His love, the more you will be like Him. If we really understood how much Christ loved us and loves us, then sin would be eradicated in our lives. And we would look and live and love like God. So this is the prayer that we all need. That God would constantly empower us through His Holy Spirit in order to give us greater and greater faith so that Christ would continually dwell in us. So that we would understand more and more how deeply rooted we are in His incomprehensibly massive love. So that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. No matter where you're at spiritually, on your spiritual journey, no matter where your loved ones are, this is the prayer you need to offer for you and for them. This is the prayer we all need. Now, as we consider the depths and the magnitude of this prayer, you may come to the conclusion that this is a ridiculously enormous prayer. I mean, it sounds good. It's a great sounding prayer, but it's just totally unrealistic. I mean, we've all experienced hard situations, whether it's the hardness of our own hearts and struggling with our own sin, continuing in sin, or stubbornness in others, or hard relationships. We live in a culture where it seems that things are just getting worse and worse. More marriages are falling apart. More families are splintered and broken. More crime, more drug use, more laziness, more selfishness. We live in a country that tries more and more each year to take God out of the equation and establish humanity, to establish ourselves as the gods of this world. And so, Paul, this is a great sounding prayer, but it is totally unrealistic. And we can become cynical and hopeless. And we can just sort of live with the expectation that nothing's going to change in our own lives and in those around us and in our society. But Paul, all throughout his writings, has this relentless optimism and hope. He lived in a world very much like ours. It was also filled with evil and brokenness, stubbornness and abuse. The early church was filled with all kinds of conflict and strife. But he refused to accept the thought, well, that's just the way it is. Get used to it. Just get through it. But he remained optimistic and hopeful. Well, how did he do that? How did he remain optimistic and hopeful in the midst of a hard, broken world? Well, there's only one reason. Because he knew the power of God. He prayed with great confidence and optimism and hope because he prayed to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. God can and will do more than we imagine as we pray to him. You know, we give up so quickly when we don't see the results that we want to see from our prayers after a week or a month or even a year. We figure, what's the point? God isn't even listening. And we quickly fall into this pessimistic mindset. This is the way it is. It's not going to change. I better get used to it. Don't expect anything to change. Don't expect God to do anything. And so we may continue to pray, but we don't really pray expecting God to work. Well, if you really believe that God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, as it's promised here, then you will have relentless optimism and hope that God will transform hearts and lives, that he is transforming hearts and lives and will continue to transform hearts and lives all over this world, and that he is building his church. And with great hope, we pray relentlessly and passionately and constantly. This is the prayer that you and I need. This is the prayer that those you love need. This is the prayer that the church needs. The prayer that the world needs. And when we pray, we pray with confidence and optimism that God not only can, but will do more than we ask and more than we imagine. Maybe not in the way that we had hoped or would have liked to see, but God is doing more than we ask for, more than we can imagine. This is what gives us that relentless optimism and hope when we come to God in prayer. No matter where you're at in life, this is the prayer you need, and this is the kind of confidence you need to have when you pray. This is the prayer that heals all spiritual infection and disease. This is the prayer that heals death, brings to life. This is the prayer that brings us to completion. Penicillin was perhaps the closest that we've come to a cure for whatever ails us physically. And it revolutionized modern medicine. But I read an article just this past week entitled "The Troubling End to the Antibiotic Revolution." The troubling end to the antibiotic revolution. The author talks about how more and more these once powerful antibiotics like penicillin are becoming less and less effective against bacteria and infection. This bacteria is becoming resistant to these antibiotics, making the antibiotics ineffective. Well, this passage contains the prayer for whatever ails you. But unlike penicillin and antibiotics, this prayer will never lose its power, its potency. Because we pray to the one who is able to do more than we ask or imagine. This prayer is the antibiotic that covers every spiritual infection, and it will never lose its potency. You know, we pray oftentimes for God to heal our broken bones. Pray for our surgeries, our concussions, our sickness, our diseases. Or we pray for good test results and grades and classes. And these are not bad things to pray for. God tells us to bring all our concerns to him. But the problem is that we become so focused on these problems and these issues that we forget the far greater spiritual infection that we all have. And we don't pray against it. This is the spiritual penicillin, the basic prayer that covers every spiritual infection. If we want to see God transform lives, to transform our own lives and the lives of those around us and the world, this must be our passionate prayer. And as God does more than we can imagine, He will be glorified. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have guided us in how to pray. Without Your guidance, we wouldn't know what to pray for. And so we thank You that You've given us this prayer. And we simply pray that prayer now, that You would empower us by Your Holy Spirit to the core of our being, that You would give us and purify faith in our lives, continually purifying it so that Christ would live in us more and more. And through the eyes of faith, that we would understand the magnitude of Your love and how deeply planted we are in that love. And as we understand Your love, help us to be filled. Let us be filled with the fullness of God. We pray this prayer with great optimism and great hope because we know that You hear us and You are able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. And we look forward to the results, the work that You're doing, to see the work that You're doing in this world and in our lives. Do Your great work and carry it to completion. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.